Today we're going to be looking at some essential keys to surviving apostasy. And as Jude is bringing up toward the closing of his epistle, one of the things he's trying to instill in us is remembrance. Remember, right? The apostles' word spoken to you. Remember their warnings. Heed everything they've told you to stay away from as Christians. And then finally, he gives us the identifying marks of the apostates. And so this is something I want to go through with you as we continue to never forget, right? To always do things in remembrance of what God has left us. We have to be conscious of history. We have to be conscious of sound doctrine, all these other issues. And that's what we're going to go through today, beginning in verse 17. Let's go ahead and start today's teaching. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first thing he tells us to remember is the accuracy of God's word. And that accuracy came from the very beginning, right? Because he gave that authority to the apostles. And so the apostles have written the letters, the epistles, and one of the things that we see from the very beginning that Satan always has tried to destroy God's word or try to make it look like it's not accurate. And so he tries to put doubt in the hearts of God's people by asking them the same question that he did ask Eve at the garden. Remember what it is? Did God really say that? Right? Let's go to Genesis 3:1. And this is how he attacks. He always says and puts a question in the hearts of believers to make them doubt the accuracy of God's word. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And so he plants that doubt. And one of the things is once we begin to question God's word and its accuracy, we're vulnerable to the attacks of Satan as a church and as individuals. We have to be careful because only the word of God can protect us, remember, from his lies. And is he prevalent today with many lies? Yes. Has it got creeped into the church? Yes. And these lies that he continues to give, right, is just meant to cause strife in the body of Christ. And so Jude begins to remind the church the importance of who gave you the word. First of all, God gave it to us, passed it to the apostles. The apostles transmitted it to us. And remember, apostles were servants commissioned by God. These were the 12 men selected, right, in the beginning, that were chosen by Jesus as he had his ministry here on earth to carry his ministry on after he ascended. And so these were very special people. They lived with Jesus. They served with Jesus for 3 years. And they had to meet certain qualifications in order to be able to have that responsibility given to them. The first one was that they must have been seers of the Lord's resurrection. In other words, they had to have seen the Lord resurrected. And so this is told to us in Acts chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, when Judas was replaced by Matthias. And so let's read those verses. Therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So when they were picking the replacements, they were saying, has he seen Jesus resurrected? Even Paul reminded the church of his credentials when he would say, I've seen the Lord risen. I'm one of the apostles, because many people would question if he was really an apostle, right? Because he came at a later time. And so he tells them this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, as he speaks to the church in Corinth, and he tells them, I've met all the requirements. I am an apostle. I am legit. And he said, I'm too legit to quit. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, he says, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. He even called them seal letters. He says, you're my letters. You're my testimony of who I am in the Lord. And so apostles lived with Christ during the ministry, and they learned everything about him and from him. And they were sent out to fulfill the great commission to carry forth the good news of salvation throughout all the world. And they were given responsibility for representing that authentic work to the people of God. And remember, This is the key. If we have authentic word, there's also counterfeit that takes place. And this is where these apostates come in. They've been sent by the enemy to cause division, to cause confusion, and to bring and spread lies amongst the body of Christ. And so in the early church, what happened was that there was these false teachers coming, apostates, and they were causing division in the church because of their teaching. And so something had to be done in order to protect the people of God. And so it was necessary to form a system to protect them from the forged letters, right? That they would come as representatives of God and expose them to be able to discern who was of God and who was not. So this system that was in place to protect them from false teachings and false letters of apostleship were put in place by the church. They had to have seals of someone they recognized as a sound teacher, and that's how they would travel from one church to another, bringing us the word of God. And so, since Christ had committed the true faith to his apostles, one of the first tests in the early church was to ask this question: is that what our apostles taught? Is that true? And that would keep them in line to make sure they could discern from false teaching. It applies to us today. Is that what the apostles taught, right? We can ask ourselves that today with all these false teachers that have come into the church and are now infiltrated in the church. The apostles' teaching will always be the measure of how we measure if there is sound doctrine or false doctrine being taught. This is why the apostles' word is so important. So Jude tells his audience, remember the truth of the apostles' writings. They're concrete. And notice how Jude mentions the number, remember the word spoken beforehand by the apostles in verse 17. Remember what they said, because that is meant to keep you on track and not fall away from sound doctrine. And so originally, remember, there was no New Testament epistles, right? And so we have the whole counsel of the word. So that's a blessing for us that we can see what the Old Testament, the New Testament teach. But back in the early church, right, there was no New Testament epistles. And so over the years, letters were inspired by different writers like Paul, Peter, John, and that we now have in our New Testament. We have the scope of the whole thing. They didn't. That's why they had to stick to apostles' writings and what they spoke, okay? See, right now we don't depend on that tradition anymore. But we always go to the scriptures to find out what is sound and what is not. The key and the problem is today, so many churches are so way off base scripturally that they don't know what is truth anymore. They've accepted the lies, right? They've compromised the word. And so now they have lost the ability to discern what is of the apostles' writings and what is not. And so this is where we're at today in the church. See, because you and I have been blessed with the completed word of God, you and I can discern what is of God, what is not. And so we are super blessed to be able to have that revelation given to us and that we can spot false teachings a mile away. And so the accuracy of God's word, how it was put together by the Lord with these 40 authors from three different countries, right? And how he set it all together from Genesis to Revelation. And there are no errors in it. It is inerrant and it is sound. We can trust the word of God. How many can say amen to that? All right, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Peter said, I'll always remind you of the accuracy of God's word. I'll always remind you of these things because I care for you. At 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, he wrote this. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth, which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Knowing that at the laying aside of the earthly dwelling, it's imminent. Also, our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. See, that's the purpose of why the word was written, to call us to remember, to keep in mind, not to forget sound teaching, because that's what's happened in the church today. The reason apostasy has crept into the church, they have forgotten the sound foundation of accurate teaching from the apostles of God. That's why we're in the mess that we're in the church. And so we have to be careful. He says, man, my mission, even though I'm going to die, even though I'm going to leave this earthen body, the things I left behind, written for you and spoken to you, those things I want to remind you of, because they're going to remind you when times get dangerous in the church that you need the accuracy of God's word. And that's why we learn it, right? People and servants of God will die. Remember that. But his word will always be with us forever. And that's the key. How many great teachers of God's word have we lost? But we can always go back to the writings of sound scripture and be able to continue to trust it no matter what comes our way. Okay, so that's our first point today, an essential keys to surviving apostasy. Remember the accuracy of God's word. Point number two, remember the apostles' warnings. Look at verse 18. That they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lust. Right? So in the last days we know there's mockers there. And they follow their ungodly lust. And so Jude was declaring that these people are the people who deny the truth of the word and they make a joke out of our faith. In other words, they proclaim to know more of the word than we do. And so they bring frivolous teachings that cause people to compromise their life in Christ. And so they say, you can sin, right? Live like the devil. You can think and be loose theologically now. You don't need to stay into sound doctrine. You can be in that place where a mocker will always try to bring unchristian lifestyles into their teaching and let it creep into the church, so the church is lured into a self state of deception. In other words, people live their lives like the devil and they still think Christ is with them when that's a lie. And this is how apostasy has crept into our churches today. We have to be careful, right? They bring in teachings of skepticism, doubt what is risen. Okay, they promote unchristian lifestyles like homosexuality. They promote abortion, right? They promote all these things that are an abomination to the Lord. Those are the mockers. A mocker is someone who treats lightly that which should be taken seriously. That's a mocker. Whatever comes in the Word of God has to be treated seriously. It cannot be mocked. And yet, you'll see it all over the place, right? Today, when we see people bringing in these teachings, it's the same as in the days of Noah. They all scoff, they all mock. Yeah, right, there's going to be a flood, right? There's going to be a judgment day coming. Yes, there is. Even in Sodom, right? They never thought it would light up. And it did. Their whole city got burned. That's what we're living in right now. And so we are to heed the apostles' warnings. It is coming. Judgment day is coming. And one day we will give an account to the Lord. One of the things is we know hell is real, right? We know those are the scriptures. Stay away from it. It's not meant for Christians. It's meant for the devil and his legions, his followers, the Antichrist, the false prophet. All these things are told to us as warnings to stay straight. Jude was just echoing what Paul wrote in his epistle, what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 3. Almost identical. In the last days will come, right? None know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking following after their own lust. Okay? Paul and John also warned us, right? Stay close to the truth, to the authentic word. And he told them, these men told them that false teachers were coming. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It gives us the characteristics of these false teachers, of these apostates. And he mentions at least 18 characteristics of these apostates. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. And you'll see these televangelists. You'll see these false teachers going from town to town, appearing to be angels of light when they're angels of darkness. And they bring in these twisted views of Scripture. They corrupt it. They bring in the prosperity message, the name it, claim it faith, all these things, and they're all over the place. And they gave us warning after warning, right? And Paul could have probably even listed more here in 2 Timothy, but the thing is, are we heeding the warnings? Are we listening to what God is trying to tell the church? Apostates only do it for the love for themselves and for their money, right? But they don't understand. They will be held accountable at a high standard before God. And one of the things that is one of the biggest problems we have today in the church. There's a great love for self in many people. It's all about me, myself, and I. One of the reasons you come to church is to give to God. In other words, give your time, your worship, your praise, right? And one of the things is people now, it's all about me. What is church doing for me to entertain me? Am I being entertained by theatrics? Am I being entertained where I'm tickling, having my ears tickled? And this is what's going on in the church today. All this apostate teaching has crept in, and it's all because of love of self. And you know why that is dangerous? Because you make a God out of yourself. And it's all about me. No, we serve the Lord, the only true God, and church is all about Him. So when I come to church, even if they change the time on me, okay? I still love coming to hear from Him. Why? Because He's worthy of all honor, all glory, all praise, right? And this is what He's trying to teach us. Get rid of self and start putting me first, center. And then you will learn how to fall in love deeper with me, and I will carry you through this life's journey here on earth in victory and in praise. But today, it's all about me, myself, and I. And this is one of the things that I always try to let you guys know. You know what? It's not about us. Church is all about Him. And He is worthy of all that. Look at 1 John 2:18. Antichrist will come on the scene. And they're here. Right? And one of the things is, He says, children, in the last hour, and just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. Isn't that true? Many Antichrists are on the scene now. You see them. Just go to YouTube, go to your social media, and you'll see all these liars. Right there, plain Jane, right in front of you. Why? Because there's two forces at work in our society. Right? First of all, truth is working through the Church of Christ. And one of the things is, it's by way of the Holy Spirit that's in us. So the church is working in this way, and then evil is working on the other side. And this is where it's influenced under the power of Satan. And this is where we have the false teaching. We have all the heretical teachings, false doctrine, all these things that divide the church. See, the Holy Spirit right now is holding back much of this lawlessness. If the church were not here, can you imagine how much more crazier the world would get? This is why it's so important to be an active church member today. Where you go out there and you do outreach, you go out there and you show people how much you care for them. Because if the church was not here, guys, it would be hell on earth. And that is what's becoming more and more evident. Because the Holy Spirit is here, when we get raptured, when God's people are taken out, can you imagine how horrible the world is going to get? It's going to be miserable here for people who get left behind. And see, when the church is removed, people are going to see how much of a vital role the church played to preserve the Lord's word and His truth and hold back lawlessness. But they won't care. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And so little Antichrists are active throughout our world now. And many of them are behind pulpits in churches all over the world. And they are teaching doctrine that compromises the word of God. Okay, people who are opposing and trying to replace the teaching of Christ Himself. They're trying to tell us how Christ thought instead of interpreting it accurately. They're all over the place. You see it. Their goal is to distract and derail Christians from following the Lord. And you know why apostasy is such a problem? Because people in rebellion don't like truth. Antichrist do not like truth. Many would rather live a life of evil than confront the truth. When God speaks, He speaks. And when He speaks with God's truth from the pulpit, people's lives are going to be impacted. Whether they apply it or not, that's not the issue. The issue is they've been told. And they will not have an excuse on that day of judgment. But see, God's truth confronts sinful lifestyles. It always has, it always will. And all these transgender teachings and homosexuality and all these teachings that they're bringing in, right, to compromise the word of God, that you can live sinful lives, they're all demonic in its nature. And so one of the things that many people are going to pay a heavy price for their rebellion. And today we see it all over. See, they want to defend their way of living. And guess who gets in the way of their demonic living? The church. That's why they don't like us, because we bring conviction of sin upon them. And they know when they're sinning. And so the church is in the way of Satan taking over completely. And so that's why they have that animosity toward us. But again, if it creeps into the church, and the church is no different, right? We know that the infiltration of the enemy is in the churches today. People cannot live the life they used to before they knew Christ and still be considered sons and daughters of Christ. We must be separate from the world. And this is one of the things that the Bible teaches. Now, because of the world's pride and egos, they don't want to receive the truth. Why? Because the truth is the message of the cross. You have to nail your sins at the cross. You have to submit to God completely. So anything having to do with the cross, they hate, because it requires a dying of self. And guess who's enthroned in their hearts? Self. They're their own idols. And because they don't want to get dethroned, they will never leave room for God. And this is why it's so dangerous now. But God's people know how to humble themselves, how to understand, God, I can't live this life without you. And so I want you to be seated on the throne room of my heart. And I dethrone myself. Let your will be done so that I can serve you all the days of my life. And so this is what's happening now. See, there's too much tickling of the ears. There's too much telling people how good they are and how much they deserve. And you know what? Apart from God, we deserve nothing. We were all wretched. We were all sinners before. And you know what? God's grace and mercy reached us. Praise God for that. But, you know, right now, 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us there's a lot of preachers that are just wanting to make it all about finances, money, tickling the ears so you can do what you want so my church explodes. But they're afraid to tell them the truth, because then that would mean they would have to change and preachers would have to change to give sound teachings. And so they don't want any of that. So heed the warnings that God has given us through the apostles. Now, how do we deal with apostleship or apostasy? I'm sorry. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. There's two ways. Through the truth of his word and through the anointing God has given us. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Moreover, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. Again, we go back to the accuracy of the word. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So all of us have, that are born again, the truth of his word and the anointing. And many times I've seen anointing used the wrong way. Anointing means, oh, I have this power to do things. Right? But anointing, remember, is not some special gift that's just shared by elite clergy or super spiritual people. John is addressing, remember, spiritual children in these verses. Every Christian has the anointing of God. And you know what the anointing of God is? The internal teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit within you. It guides you. It leads you to all truth. And this is what the anointing is, right? And so he illuminates believers. The Holy Spirit opens our mind to understand and apply the truth of God so that we can be able to detect and discern the deceptions of the enemy. That's the anointing God has given us. And see, one of the things is he's given us the word, he's given us the anointing of the Holy Spirit within us to guide us, to lead us. And so God has given us this truth to be able to combat the enemy. The truth that we have heard from the beginning, he said there. Notice that. The truth must always remain in us at all times. That's what he's saying. In other words, we can't take a day off from being a Christian. We have to be in battle mode continually. Every single day we must apply the word of God to our lives in order to beat apostasy. If you stray from the truth, it doesn't take much. A little leaven spoils a whole lump, right? The Bible says. So you have to be careful to listen to the whole counsel of God's word. And it must be in you every single day. You must be tuned in to the Holy Spirit's leading daily. And this is one of the things that you have to stay in the study of the word continually. Because if not, you'll fall prey to apostasy. People who don't know the word will be misled. And that's just the way it is. Think of it like a satellite TV. Right? When you have a satellite TV, it communicates to your satellite dish, right? Your dish has to be in the position to get the signal. If you want to see TV in that way through a satellite, it must be positioned correctly every single day. If you move it 1 degree right, 1 degree left, you lose the signal. The same thing applies in your life through the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual dish has to be in tune with the Word of God every day. And God leads us through many, many different ways, right? Where we have to adjust it daily. Because in our life, the Holy Spirit is giving us a signal that we must follow every single day through God's word. If my GPS, if my satellite dish is only positioned for Sundays, I'm going to lose out the rest of the signals that he has from Monday through Saturday. You guys get me? Okay, so the important thing about knowing the word of God, you must be positioned in that word every single day. And it is the truth that you have heard from the beginning. It does not change. The word of God will never change. It is inerrant in every way. Amen? All right, then you say, oh, Pastor, I don't have satellite. I'm lost. Well, use your GPS. God's positioning system. Right? Use it. That will guide you. And how do you get GPS? By this word. You don't need cable. It will position you every day on how you are to live your life. And that GPS is what we need every day. God will position us every single day as we study to do the things that he wants us to do in order to accomplish his will. Remember, a believer cannot just operate on Sundays. He will not only hear from God on Sundays. God wants to speak to us through the Holy Spirit every single day. So be ready for this, okay? One of the things I want you to understand, remember the warnings they've given us. And stick to that. Don't fall asleep in your Christian walk. Okay, so essential keys to surviving apostasy. Remember the accuracy of God's word. Remember the apostles' warnings. And then lastly, remember the identification marks of the apostate. And that's in verse 19. Let's close with this. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. These are the apostates that have just come for these purposes, to cause divisions. In other words, that's their goal. If I can divide a church with these lies, I'm accomplishing Satan's lies. I'm accomplishing Satan's purpose. That's all they're meant to do, is to divide us. They want to lead people out of the true fellowship with God and place them in a false fellowship. And so Paul warned the early church of this danger in the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts 20, verses 28 to 30. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. And from among you and your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples. Notice that. After them. Look at what he's saying. They're here. And one of the things we have to remember, their job is to pull away people from the truth of God. And they're doing a great job. They want to lead people out of the will of God. See, and this is one of the things that I want you to know. These guys always come in thinking that they know more about God's word than we do. And sadly enough, many people don't know the word, so they can lie to them. And this is how they get power. When they come to your door, knock on the door, the Mormons, the Jehovah's, all these people. If you don't know the word, what they're selling sounds good, but it's deception. And this is how cults work, false teachers work. They claim to have a deeper knowledge of God that your church is not providing. But again, your satellite dish has to be working every day where you're growing on your own in the Lord as well. One Sunday feeding is not enough. You must be fed throughout the week. Okay? They think they have a better understanding of prophecy than we do. And so they say, this is what's really going to happen. And they twist the prophecies of God. That's why we have to be sharp on prophecy. They also come in with the lies as, oh, you know what? We know more about living the true Christian life than you guys do. And so because people are hungry, they're naive to the word, they take advantage and lie to them. They always claim to have a higher quality of religion than the apostles had. And this is why it says, remember from the beginning. And then it says they're worldly minded. In other words, sensual in their way of thinking. They deceive the church through their sensual worldly mindedness. And they think the opposite way that the Christian does. A Christian will think on the things of the Lord, right, of the kingdom. The false teacher will not. They'll take you the opposite way. And with their sensual teachings to gain power over you, they will do it. They will never be able to understand the spiritual things of God because their hearts are in the wrong place. Their minds are in the wrong place. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, especially the cross. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. There's no way an apostate can ever understand the things of the kingdom or the word of God because they lack, right, the Spirit of God. That's why he says, right, the next part. They don't have the Spirit. They're void of it. Because apostates cannot possess the Spirit of God because they're not born again. And this is the issue here. And so they have to operate under their own carnal nature. And so many people are blinded by carnal works that these apostates present. They lack the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And so many people in the church are deceived because they're listening to teachers that are carnal and not spiritual at all. They're dynamic, motivational speakers, right? They'll lure you in with their fancy look, but they're not having to do anything with the Spirit of God. In other words, they're mesmerizing you today. And apostates are doing that well, right, with stage lights. They're doing that well, right, with the special effects and props, and they're giving all these services with all these things, smoke up in the air, right, and all these other things because they're luring people away from the truth of God's word, and God's word is being replaced. Oh, let's do an hour of worship, but let's only get 15 minutes of scripture because it gets in the way of what we're trying to know. It's all about me, myself, and I, and they're luring many people through these deceptions. See, the Word of God must be the centerpiece of every service. Worship is beautiful, don't get me wrong. But you know what? It cannot replace God's Word. That's why it says, remember what you've been given. Remember what you have seen and heard through the apostles and their writings. Entertainment in the church is at an all-time high. And you see it each and every week. The Word is being watered down more and more as days goes on. So what do you expect the church to have? If the church continues down this path, the Holy Spirit isn't even in any of the works. It's sad. But we see it. See, there's a lot of churches that the Holy Spirit cannot be found anywhere because the truth is not being taught in its entirety. Be careful. Remember, ministries void of the Holy Spirit will magnify men. But when truth is taught, authentic Christianity magnifies and glorifies Christ and His Word. And one of the things that will happen, guys, that will change your life forever in church is when you start being acute to the signal of the Word of God. Your heart will change. You will start changing powerfully from within. That's why Satan doesn't want the truth taught in churches, because there will be no change in people. See, the issue more than anything, is your heart being rattled by the Word every week, every day? Is your heart being touched every day where there's conviction in the heart that I must press on, I must keep going, I must honor the Lord with what I have? Because that's what it's about. When you leave, you must leave different than when you came in. And the Word of God does surgery in us like no other knife does. And it begins to reveal the thoughts in our heart, the motives in our heart. That's what church is all about. Is the Word changing me more and more to become more Christ-like? The Word will always cause us to examine ourselves. Remember that. And it does convict us. We know when we're wrong, when God brings forth His Word and power. That's why Satan's trying to distort the Word from being the centerpiece, because he can also affect the hearts of people. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Where the truth of God is taught, people's hearts will melt under His truth. And that's why Satan's doing what he's doing in deception, to try to lure people away from the truth. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Isn't that true? When the Word hits, it hits, and there's nothing we can do. We can't hide the truth of it. We're either going to obey it or reject it. Our job as Christians is to receive it, to say, you know what, Lord, You're speaking to me, and this Word is exactly for me. See, have you ever experienced God's Word, and when the preacher is preaching, the Word is cutting? See, it begins to cut in me when I'm preparing the message. It's a two-edged sword. And it starts cutting me on the inside as I'm giving you the message and you're hearing it. But you ever feel exposed? When God's Word speaks, He sees the inner thoughts of the heart. Man, it happens in services. And sometimes people tell me, who told you about me, Pastor? I go, I don't know any of what's going on in your life. It's totally the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard the preachings and they go directly to your heart and you say, man, why is God doing this, right? Well, because He loves us. Have you ever felt your soul wide open because of the teachings? I have. And I just have to remember, it's for my good. I want you to remember, we have no private lives when it pertains to God. We have no private thoughts. Everything is known by Him. Everything is seen by Him. I can play church all I want, but when the Word goes forth, that's between you and Him, and your thoughts and your heart are exposed. This is why it's so powerful to teach the truth of God. Everything is laid bare before the One who made us. Everything is laid bare to the One we will give an account to one day. See, the apostate can't have that relationship with God, but thank God you and I do. When there is conviction of the heart, there is change when you apply it. And what happens is you're a better Christian for it. He's chiseling away, and when you look at your life, man, I have so many faults. Great. Because that's what it's for, to get rid of those faults one by one. But if you're honest and you say, Lord, I know the Word spoke to me today, and I need to make changes in my life to become a better Christian, that's what you should take every Sunday. Every time you open the Word at home, every day, He is speaking. And He is doing surgery like nobody else can. The apostate can't have that done. But thank God we still have conviction. That's proof of the Holy Spirit within you. When you can't sin willfully, that it hurts you because of what He did on the cross for you. So praise God, right? And so remember, The identification marks of the apostate are just to divide, to steal, to do all these things. And all we have to do is come to the Word and continue to stay straight in it. And guess what? God will perform surgery every service because He loves us. Okay, so stick to what He told us to do. Remember the accuracy of God's Word. Remember the apostles' warnings. And then remember the identification marks of the apostate. They're just here to cause trouble and division. That's what they love doing. You stick to the truth of God and draw closer to God and bring unity to the body, not division. Amen?